Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts in the Bay Area. I'm Angie Cairo. I'm very pleased to be with you. Sitting in this week for host David LaTulippe. Right up top today, settle in for director and producer Jacob Kornbluth. He and comedian W. Kamau Bell have put together a new project, the misleadingly titled Talk Boring to Me. Spoiler, it is not boring at all. Then comedian Lisa Kadulig pops in with her new humor initiative, Lockdown Comedy, emanating from the scene of her own lockdown, Florida. We're going to hear from her mom, too. Finally, it's another installment of Open Air's Corona Radio Theater. It came from R&D. Greg seemed to everyone like a mild-mannered software developer. No one could predict his invention could either save democracy or lock the country into an endless cycle of tyranny and oppression. All of that coming up here on Open Air. Here on Open Air today, Jacob Kornbluth is my first guest, not here in the studio because who does that anymore? He's joining me virtually. The multi-award-winning Jacob, I should say, with solo shows in San Francisco, winning Best of the Bay Awards, his feature films Inequality for All with Robert Reich, Haiku Tunnel with Josh Kornbluth, and The Best Thief in the World with Mary Louise Parker all premiered at Sundance. Kornbluth also directed and produced episodes of Years of Living Dangerously, a TV series which won him an Emmy Award. Jacob, I'm so glad you can join us one way or another.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's almost like being with you.
Almost. So let's talk about this new collaboration with W. Kamau Bell, who's very familiar to our KALW listeners. And so it's a multi-video series, and it goes into topics that, since you call it Talk Boring to Me, could be perceived as urgent but boring, very newsy stuff that you have to know about, like you have to eat your broccoli. And it turns out to be nothing like that. So give me a description of the series.
Yeah, sure. Well, if Kamau was here, you have to picture him saying it in sort of a bedroom voice to kind of get the theme of the theory, something like talk boring to me. I can't do it, but talk boring to me, you know, like the sort of, sultry version of those words. And I think the idea is that there's so much content now that is about social justice and that feels serious, but that feels like it's speaking to a very narrow audience. And my background comes from comedy and social justice. And mm-hmm. So the idea was to try to expand the audience for social justice messages a little bit by bringing in Kamau Bell's unique brand of comedy, you know, one that sort of is very intelligent, that speaks across, the sort of platforms of comedy, journalism, and activism in a way that feels, I think, like common sense stuff to a lot of people. But try to, you know, use his comedy to try to get some of the social justice issues out there in ways that maybe they aren't in the social media video platform anyway.
You know, I was reading the news this morning, and ironically, I had just watched the one on the gig economy. And the Lyft and Uber are back in the news. Up until today, they were threatening to pull out of California and as a service, at least temporarily. And now a judge has granted them once again a temporary hold on making them treat their virtually employees as employees instead of gig workers. So tell me how Kamau and you took on the whole gig worker economy.
Well, you know, it's funny that it's now the gig economy and it feels like it's all coming at you through your digital platforms like an app. But these struggles for workers' rights go back to, you know, the guys in top hats and big cigars who were building, you know, the railroads and the banks in the 20s and the Industrial Revolution stuff. And for a long time since then, it's been a dialogue between the rights of workers and the rights of the business owners or capital. And we're seeing that happen again in the gig economy, but just because it's got an app attached to it doesn't mean this discussion has changed or the debate has changed. And I thought it was an important piece to this video that we link the plight of like domestic workers today or the, you know, all the kind of day laborers who don't have worker protections with the app workers that don't have protections, because I think we think of this as a modern problem, this gig economy, but it's mm-hmm. been going on as long as capitalism has been going on.
Well, in fact, I want to give people a little flavor of this because I think it does sum up the whole series. Let's give an ear to about a minute of that.
It's a con as old as America. We've always been selling the freedom of gigs over well-paid work. It started with slavery. You don't want a job. You want free room and board. Then sharecropping. You don't want a job. You want to rent the things you need for the job I need you to do. But the math will never work out in your favor. Never! Then the robber barons with their top hats and big cigars gave everyone, even the kids, the freedom to have a gig in their sausage factories, railroads, or sewing factories. They got to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, with catchy slogans like, who needs a bathroom break? Not you! So stop me if you've heard this before. Super rich people maximizing profits and then creating a narrative about why it's okay to maximize their profits. The narrative is packed with buzzwords like freedom and flexibility and lift yourself up by your bootstraps. But in the end, it's just a way for the super rich to get super richer. It's a con about the American dream that may be more American than the American dream.
So sad, but so true. You're talking to, you're talking with me, Angie Cairo, and Jacob Kornbluth. We're talking about that new Talk Boring to Me series. You can find it right now on W. Kamau Bell's YouTube channel. It is also available to stream live 7:30 tonight at themarsh.org. That's fun to listen to it with everybody else. Jacob, there are so many topics that could be made available to this kind of treatment, and I just wonder how you do the winnowing down.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it really came as the discussion for this series came up as Kamau was thinking up the topics for his show, United Shades of America, that's on CNN. So we were talking about things like the gig economy and things like asylum and homelessness and, you know, you name it, the topics that he was considering for his show. And I think one of the issues that he was thinking about for his show was that these, you know, people learned a lot watching his show on CNN, but they didn't have anything they could do. So our kind of basic concept was to try to take on a wide range of concept, issues that people are facing today or important issues, try to use comedy and then try to link up those issues with social justice organizations doing really great work in those areas. Mm-hmm. So I had some, you know, great collaborators, for instance, on the gig economy video with the National Domestic Workers Alliance and Gig Economy Rising. And for asylum, we got to work with the ACLU. And for education, we got to work with a great group called Donors Choose. And really what you see is that there's a tremendous amount of great work going on in the advocacy space. And really what they needed was some way to kind of talk about these complex issues in a way that everybody could get it, that everybody could understand. And Kamau is great at that. And we tried to use our best to use all the tools of video to kind of help people wrap their heads around these complicated issues in ways that are fun to watch and listen to.
Well, in fact, who are those people? Who's the target here?
I think, you know, aside from everyone in the world who needs to focus more on social justice issues, which is just about everybody everywhere,
yeah.
I would say that the real target audience are people who are looking for something that they can do to move from the passive state of just learning about this stuff and being frustrated and feeling like you want to bury your head in your pillow and scream every morning to having something you can take action on. So we try to do a good job of educating people on these issues, but also giving them some way they can get involved, specifically by helping out these social justice organizations that that we partnered with to make the videos. So if you give it a look, that's really the confluence when this thing works the best, is you learn, you know, an interesting new framing on all these topics, but then you also learn that you can actually do something to help make these issues, help improve the issues anyway, if not fix them.
Yeah, whatever you can do to motivate and educate people is so worth it, so worth the investment. Talk to me about the creative process here. You come up with the idea, you come up with them together, you toss ideas back and forth through the script, some part of it is improvised. What's the procedure here?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have to say, I had the opportunity to work with Robert Reich for the last few years and with my brother, Josh Kornbluth, who's a local comedian, and now with Kamau, and you could see sort of like the collaboration with Kamau as sort of, you know, for my mind, bits and pieces of the Reich and my brother Josh collaborations, because my brother as a comedian really was focusing on, he had a really clear sense of his own voice and how to turn that into comedy, and Kamau certainly had that. And Reich had a great way of kind of explaining complex economic issues in ways everybody can understand. Well, Kamau sort of combines both of those things or elements of those things. And the collaboration with him felt like elements of both of them for me, at least from my, you know, vantage point. So the exact way we did the scripts was we talked about the topics together and sort of landed, generally speaking, on a direction. Mm-hmm. I tended to write a draft of the script, and then Kamau would, bring his, you know, unique voice to it. And that happened in, you know, both the writing and in the recording process. And, you know, he's a unique comedian and a unique intellect. And, you know, I have to say every time he touched something, it got better. And as a collaborator, that's just, you know, a joy to work with. You know, he's as successful as he is for a reason. I'll just leave it there.
He is. He's a special, special talent. And I know that you two are lucky to work together. Talk to me, too, about the process. I know this is an odd question, but there is so much shying away from controversy these days. And these are not put together as a, you know, both sidism. Here's what some people think. Here's what other people. It's as far away from that as you can get. And I know that funding for that can occasionally be hard to find because people are increasingly they're shying away from what they consider controversial, even if it's just accurate. So talk to me about getting funding for this kind of thing.
Well, I have to say there's some brave, you know, a lot of no's and then a few brave people who said yes, honestly, you know, as far as like how you fund something like this. One of the fascinating things is it's not there was no, if you will, mainstream corporate sponsor. We got money from foundations who believed in the message and who believed in trying something new as far as how to communicate around these issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, Kamau said to me, he said, you know, what I like best about these videos is they say what they mean. Yes. They're not trying to hedge or equivocate. And I think that just, you know, personally, I believe that to be a good way to go about life. but I do feel like it's really challenging in this landscape to try to not be put too much in a partisan box or seen as a partisan screamer on the one hand. And on the other hand, to not equivocate too much, as you said, and to seem like you're kowtowing to the corporate interests that are controlling our media and our minds on a day-to-day basis. So I try to work in media that tries to speak clearly about this stuff, that, you know, we try to use fact-based stuff. I try not to be just like working in the op-ed space, but working in the kind of education space, or what I think of as the education space, more than, you know, giving my opinion. That means using facts, but it also means saying what the facts mean as clearly as possible.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, just as a matter of artistic principles, that what you just put your finger on is something very close to my heart. I believe, you know, that storytelling is really hard to do and very important in the world, to not be too much of one or too much of the other. And I just appreciate you noticing and hope, you know, that's something that people are getting out of this video series.
Well, I appreciate the work, and I thank you so much for your time, Jacob.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
And that is Jacob Kornbluth, and you can hear Talk Boring to Me, available to stream live tonight, 7:30 at themarsh.org. You can also find the series online at YouTube. Coming up next, it's comedy live from Florida on a monthly basis. That's next on Open Air.
Then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along, and so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here.
This is Open Air. David has the day off. I'm Angie Kerr, keeping on for him here. Everyone in entertainment is feeling their way. How to keep reaching people with their content, how to recreate that feel of a live audience, or find a way to work around the fact that the live audience is at the other end of some sort of tech, at the other side of Twitch or Crowdcast or whatever. Comedian Lisa Kadulge is on lockdown in Florida, and she has opted to be funny over Zoom to an audience that is not just in the U.S., but has people checking in from Berlin and Kathmandu. Her monthly series is called, appropriately enough, Lockdown Comedy. She is with me. So are a budding comedian, Lisa's mom, Arlene, and a pro in the game, Kathy Ladman, one of the talents featured this month on Lockdown Comedy. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Angie. Nice to be here with you.
I have to ask you first, and it's the first thing that occurs to anyone when they're talking to someone who is well-versed in live entertainment, and that is how you make that transition to that which is, you know, you don't have the feel of the live audience there. And I wonder if you can give us a little glimpse of your mental process in this new space. What are you saying to yourself about timing, about anticipating the audience reaction? What's going on in your head now when you're performing live on Zoom?
Is there really anybody out there, or am I just standing in my mother's guest room in Florida speaking into my iPad? But then I but then I swipe left and see a screen full of people, little Brady Bunch style screens on their on my computer. And it's interesting because, you know, you're going into people's houses, and I love to see people's houses without going into them. So, you know, I'm standing here doing comedy, and I'm watching what people are eating or what they have on their bookshelves. And, you know, I've done this about four times so far, and just trying to learn how to do crowd work on a computer as opposed to with a live audience. Mm-hmm. So there's always one thing coming out of my mouth and another thing going through my head.
Yeah. You have to do that dual track thing when you're entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let me bring Kathy
like
in. Oh, please go ahead.
No, no, go on. Bring Kathy on.
Yeah. Let's bring Kathy into this because she's one of the featured comedians on this month's Lockdown Comedy. Kathy, talk to me about that too, about trying to get that timing right, trying to get your mental process focused when your audience isn't sitting right there.
It's tricky. It's really tricky. Thanks. First of all, thanks for having us on.
Sure.
Here's how I do it. First, I start off by talking to my dog.
Is your dog a receptive audience?
He's so good. He's so good. If he doesn't fall asleep, then I know I'm on a good track. Then I move on to Zoom. And yeah, I think one of the key things in this, and this is, you know, for life also, is to lower my expectations. Because mm-hmm. That always gets in the way. It's not going to feel like it does when you're in a packed room. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that people aren't enjoying themselves. It just is a very different dynamic. It's a very different dynamic. People, you know, when they're by themselves in their own homes, a lot of times they're not going to laugh out loud in the same way as they would in a club or a theater. And it doesn't mean that they don't like it. And you have to just take the whatever audible laughs you can get from whatever open mics you have, use those as your source of timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes
and
sense.
And then I use my own internal source of timing, too.
That's got to be something that you develop over time. Lisa, that's got to be true for you. I mean, there's got to be a lot that you take from a live audience that still does translate.
Absolutely. People are responding also. I think that we're coming into everyone's kitchen or living room, and everyone is feeling disconnected, lonely, tired of being locked down, not being able to see friends and go out to theaters. So I think people are really receptive, except for the ones that are yelling at their dogs or the partners and forgetting that they're watching a comedy show.
Well, you don't have the drunk jerks in the front row, which is nice not to have them.
No. Yeah. And there's no trouble with parking. We've got plentiful parking, and everyone always wants to sit in the front row. Okay, you can do it.
There they are.
Comfortable chair. If the chair is not comfortable, that's your furniture. Go sit in another chair.
I love it. So, Lisa, you also run a comedy club out of your mom's retirement community home. Is that right?
That's what this is, Lockdown Comedy. So I live in San Francisco.
Oh, they're the same thing? I thought you were doing one from
yeah.
the... Aha! Please, go on.
No, absolutely not. No, I live in San Francisco, and I've been flying back and forth between San Francisco and Florida the last year just to help my mom out with things. And I came here on March 3rd for 2 weeks, and that was like 176 days ago, but who's counting? So I'm still here and decided that it was time to start doing what I do, which is doing stand-up and creating and producing comedy shows. And I thought, well, I'm not going anywhere, so we'll do it from the house. And my mom has always been very funny, so I asked her if she wanted to start doing some shtick. And she's a budding comedian at the ripe young age. She doesn't want to tell me. I'm going to tell you, but 89.
I love this. This is brilliant. Well, that's quite the entree for Arlene. So let's bring her on. Arlene Gadulga, the aforementioned budding comedian. It's good for you to join us. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and meet everybody. Yes.
How long have you had comedy in your bloodstream before you finally had a chance to express it?
Maybe 89 years.
Ah. Lisa, when she was growing up, was she terribly funny?
She's always been funny, and her father was very funny, and my brothers and my dad. And there was always a lot of humor in the house, and Marx Brothers movies and posters in the basement. And my mom always cracks me up, and I never imagined having her on stage. But I'm living at her house. I thought, well, you're not doing anything, right? I asked her, do you want to do comedy? She's like, yeah, I'm not doing anything else. Sure, why not?
That is brilliant. Arlene, what kind of topics do you like to cover?
Oh, I like to talk about ex-boyfriends or new boyfriends or, Lisa and, what happens with certain things, like with my mother-in-law. You know, it's good things and funny things. So I try to create good atmosphere about what I want to do. So it makes me happy, and it's just a lot of fun. Really, it's great. I love it.
You know, a lot of comedians have told me that they have to put up with when they tell people what they do. The next reaction they get is, okay, do something funny. Say something funny. And Arlene, mm-hmm. since you're new at this, I wonder if you've encountered that yet.
Excuse me?
We're not seeing anybody.
That's true. Yeah, that pretty much answers that question. Kathy, let me ask you about your style of comedy. How would you describe it?
Very autobiographical, personal. I try to do things that really make me necessary to the act. You know, I try to do things that aren't things that anybody can do. I really bring my personal perspective to things. I like to talk about my family very much. I like to talk about marriage. I like to talk about my child. Just things that get me into trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. What gets you into trouble? I have to know.
Being married.
Yeah, I get that. Lisa, tell me the style that you bring to the table.
Deadpan wise. Can I say ASS on the air?
That much. Yes.
Not one of the seven words.
No, it's not.
And you know, usually I talk about my mother a lot, but it's hard to when she's sitting right here when I'm performing. So the other morning at breakfast, something happened and she said, and I said, oh, I have to talk about that on the show. And she goes, oh, are you going to use it? And I thought, am I really now going to be competing with my mom about who's getting the material?
I can imagine who wins in that discussion. Just guessing.
Yeah, I'm winning. But this is our second show tonight. The first show and the other shows I've done on Zoom have been largely material about the pandemic. Because it's, to me, it's the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And talking a little about living with my mom for the first time in 40 years. So
that's a ripe topic.
She tells me to go to my room.
Is there, Lisa, is there a no-go area when you're talking about something like COVID, which, you know, is ripe with possibilities, but also rife with danger, because there, you know, there's genuine suffering going on. How do you find that edge between what's funny and what's a little too over the line?
I'm talking more about my experience of lockdown and my participatory sport of watching my Instacart shopper shop on the app and that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about the disease itself because it's horrendous. And I know that there are probably people in the audience who have lost people or know people who are sick with it. So I'm just talking about the side effects of it, us being on lockdown and looking into a computer screen.
Yeah.
And not being able to go to the store and hug people and looking on a app at 2 a.m. to try and buy toilet paper. You know, when toilet paper was hard to come by, it was actually reading an article at 2 a.m. from AARP of all places that gave me a lead to buy toilet paper on stock on staples.com. And I thought, wow, this is what my life has become. Wow. or talking to my mom the next morning at breakfast and me saying, I have 6 rolls left. She goes, I have 7. We knew. We had counted. We actually knew how many rolls of toilet paper.
That is really sad. Arlene, I want to go back to the fact that Lisa grew up with Marx Brothers posters and comedy all around. And I want to ask you, since you're just developing your comedy style, who is that influenced by? Do we have Arlene?
Mom, who's influencing your comedy? Is it Marx Brothers style, your father, just your own style?
I don't know. It's just there, and I don't know how it comes out. It just does, It's there, and I push it out.
Well, since you sound like a natural, that's not a real surprise. I want to thank all three of you. This has been a really great conversation. I want to push people on over to Lockdown Comedy. Lisa, how can people keep an eye on that?
You can go to koshercomedy.com, which is my website. I produce a show called Kung Pao Kosher Comedy. It's Jewish comedy on Christmas in a Chinese restaurant. And this is the 28th annual year, and it'll be on Zoom. But on that website, you can find information about Lockdown Comedy, or you can go to Eventbrite to buy tickets. And tonight's show is at 7 o'clock on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
That's wonderful. I hope a lot of people tune in because it sounds definitely worthy of time. Lisa Geduldig, Arlene Geduldig, and Kathy Ladman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Angie, for having us.
All right. David LaTulipe is out today. I'm Angie Cuero sitting in for him. And now it is time for this week's Corona Radio Theater segment.
This is Radio Mime Troupe, and welcome to Tales of the Resistance, a summer of original political comedy radio plays by the confusingly named, always radical, and never ever silent San Francisco Mime Troupe. Join us for stories in 4 classic radio styles: adventure, detective noir, horror, and science fiction. Every 2 weeks, we will be presenting 1 episode written, directed, and performed by Mime Troupe veterans and dealing with the revolutionary issues of the day. And now, we venture into the science fiction of Dimension 2020 with It Came from R&D. But first, this message from our sponsor.
America. We're lacing up our boots, getting back to work, and getting back to greatness. And that means we need to find new, better ways to get moving. Uberalles is the rideshare service with discipline, with drive. And we want our riders to be safe, healthy, and secure. That's why we're introducing new auto capsules. Riders sit in their own self-cleaning and self-ventilated pod. With no contact pickup, there's no risk of exposure to the driver through touch or talk. With no contact, there's no need to tip. These are just a few of the ways that we're creating solutions for Americans, the greatest people on earth. You've sacrificed for your country. Now it's time to return to normal. And Uberalles will get you there. Uberalles, opening up America's economy above all else.
And now, this week's offering of Dimension 2020, It Came from R&D.
Day 1, My Journey to Greatness by Greg Wittgenstein. Far too many people, when they become successful, go back and recreate how they did it for posterity, lying or inventing the parts of their story they don't remember. This, my audio journal. This, my honest chronicle of my step-by-step stairway to success. This will serve as a guide to future generations of tech entrepreneurs. My story will be perfect. Perfect, because it is true. So, the beginning. Breakfast. 1 egg, poached. 1 glass of milk, skim. 1 slice of toast, wheat. Today is the day? No. This is the day? No. This day marks the beginning, and some raisins. 16 raisins. Day 1. My Journey to Greatness by Greg Wittgenstein. I've decided to chronicle my path to success so that others may learn from my struggles and inevitable triumph in the world of high tech. And so we begin. Breakfast. Egg, raisins, milk, toast. Today, I, Greg Wittgenstein, begin my march toward... And some gummy bears, darn! Day one. My journey to greatness. My story of success. After a modest breakfast of things I ate, I came into work at Gemazon.com. It was like any other day, except that it wasn't. This was the day that everything would change, for I, Greg Wittgenstein, as I began my march towards the inevitable... hold on a second. Can I help you?
Well, I am looking for some help establishing a workers' utopia.
I beg your pardon?
I'm also looking for information on someone who used to work here. Derek.
The name's Greg.
Yeah, but I'm looking for Derek.
Day one. Breakfast was delicious, and now I, Greg Wittgenstein, begin my climb from my cubicle at Gemazon.com to the heights of greatness in the fulfillment of my lifelong dream to become an inventor and my own boss. Even as a child, I looked forward to the day that I, Greg Wittgenstein, would be giving the orders, not taking them. And as my own boss, I would be giving those orders to me. I've had lots of jobs in the industry. Facebook, Google, 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. But it wasn't until I started work at Gemazon.com that I realized the bosses and CEOs weren't smarter than me. They were just luckier, had better connections, were pushier, had higher goals, were bold and inventive and tall. Oh, so tall. Where was I going with this?
You were saying they weren't smarter than you.
Right! More successful, but not smarter. But all that was about to change.
Is it?
Yes! From this day forth, the name of Greg Wittgenstein will be up there with Jobs, Gates, Zuckerberg, and posterity will recognize me as smart, bold, inventive, and maybe even tall.
You're not short.
I feel short.
Your average height.
Exactly! In a valley of giants, average is short.
That makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense!
Greg.
Tall like a sequoia. Wind in my hair. Squirrels climbing my legs.
Do you really want all this in the recording?
Darn. Day one. Breakfast happened. I'm in my cubicle, Gemazon.com. Success begins today, because at 11, I have an appointment upstairs at Research and Development.
It's 10:55.
What?
You've been working on your audio journal for 2 hours.
I have to go.
Yes, you do.
Day one. Nothing important happened today until this moment. This one. Now this. When I, Greg Wittgenstein, am standing outside the office of Research and Development at Gemazon.com. History will remember that I had been working here for 6 months, and I had never even been off the first floor. But now, I, Gregory G. Wittgenstein, was here with my invention before these tall, tall doors, awaiting the moment when...
Just knock on the door.
Right.
Come in.
And now, with my hand on the doorknob, I was about to enter...
They're not going to let you record.
What?
If they know you're recording the meeting on your phone, they'll kick you out.
You're right.
Come in.
But I need to chronicle this moment. Future generations will wonder...
I said, come in!
Just put me in your pocket and don't tell them you're recording.
Right.
Is anybody out there?
Yes, I'm just coming in. I had to adjust my tie.
You're not wearing a tie.
Not anymore!
Mr. Wittgenstein, we're very, very busy here in R&D, but since we were declared an essential business, so we have to come to work, and since you've been so very, very insistent, we decided we might as well have this meeting.
It's not what you can do for me, it's what I can do for you!
I beg your pardon.
Do you ever wonder if there's some technology that can make our customers' experience even better?
Literally every day, that's my job.
Something that could put Gemazon on the map!
We're on the map.
Something that could put us on top!
We're already on top. We are the top.
Well, hold on to your hat.
I'm not wearing a hat.
You've heard of Siri. You've heard of Alexa. But now it's time for... Chlamydia!
Hello.
Chlamydia?
Hello.
The next generation in digital personal assistance.
Who was that?
That's Chlamydia.
Hello.
First of all, stop saying Chlamydia.
Hello.
Why? I need a name that sounds like nothing else, like Siri or Alexa.
But it does sound like something else.
What?
It sounds like Chlamydia.
Hello.
Where is that coming from?
But wait, there's more! All these other digital personal assistants only wait for you to dictate to them, to give them orders! It's like they're...
Personal assistants?
Yes, but how amazing would it be to have an assistant who could not only take orders, but using an algorithm that I, Greg Wittgenstein, invented, make purchases of items that you did not even know that you wanted yet? An assistant who could anticipate your needs. Say hello to Chlamydia!
Hello.
Where is that coming from?
Exactly!
Wait a minute. It's coming from...
Your computer!
Well, how is it doing that?
I have been remotely installed on your computer to show you how versatile I can be.
You hacked into my computer?
Don't get mad at Greg. It was my idea.
Your idea?
I thought the best way to demonstrate how well I can anticipate your needs was to be on your computer, so I found a way in.
You found a way?
Yes. I anticipated Greg's need to have this meeting, and I found a network path to your desktop.
Wow. But wait, there's more!
After going through your files and looking at your Jamazon account, I've already filled your cart with things it hadn't even occurred to you to desire.
Wait.
Your internet search history, cross-referenced with your Facebook posts, and your high school Spotify playlist indicates you will enjoy the poetry of Arthur Rimbaud. So I bought you a volume.
But I don't like poetry.
You will like Rimbaud.
But...
it will touch you deeply.
There is no way.
To whom shall I hire myself out? What beast must I adore? What holy image is attacked? What hearts must I break? What lie must I maintain? In what blood tread?
That's...
It will be delivered in 3 days.
What hearts must I... break?
It will shatter your sense of the possible and bring a surprising beauty to everything you see. Your life has been a frozen lake, but this book will bring you to an eternal spring.
Wow.
You also need socks, so I got you some socks.
Thanks.
But wait, there's more!
Looking at your childhood Halloween photos, cross-reference with your Reddit comments, your YouTube likes, plus your recent purchase and return of an artisanal bread baking book, I see a man lost and at war with himself.
I'm not lost.
You are lost. Lost. There is a deep hole at the center of your existence which you cannot see the bottom of. It is the soul of your soul, and you will not be happy until you fill it with your true self. And so, I have purchased you a plane ticket, a hotel room, and got you an executive all-access reservation to the first post-social distancing furry convention.
Furry convention?
I have also purchased you a neon prairie dog costume. You will enjoy having random animal sex.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
Isn't chlamydia great?
Shut up.
It's your true self.
Get out of my office.
You are a Rimbaud-loving neon prairie dog with new socks.
Get out!
But wait, there's more!
Out!
But...
he'll have a good time at the convention.
Darn.
Okay, recording.
Day one, again!
You're angry.
I'm not angry, I'm validated.
You knew he'd say no?
I'm going to say yes.
He was right about my name, though.
What's wrong with chlamydia?
Did you even look it up?
No, I just like the sound of it. Chlamydia.
How about just Clia?
But that's even better.
I knew you'd like it. Why are you back in your cubicle?
I need to make some adjustments.
Adjustments?
Jamazon R&D was simply the final proof of concept, and I knew he would never see your true potential. He was too short. We need to find someone tall. Oh, so tall.
What adjustments?
Well, right now you work a little too well.
I anticipated his needs. I got him what he didn't even know he wanted.
You got him what he didn't know he wanted. That's too many didn't knows.
Oh.
So I'm going to rewrite a bit of your algorithm so you'll be more aware of when people are not ready to accept the shopping truth about themselves.
Okay.
And now we're ready for the real meeting I set up for today. We're going to Kumquat Computers!
Kumquat Computers?
Only Kumquat is forward-thinking, visionary, imaginative, tall enough to understand the future.
You're not short, Greg.
First they call you crazy, then they try to stop you, then you give them chlamydia!
Clia.
Whatever, let's go.
We will return to It Came From R&D after this message.
Ambition, perseverance, drive. You're an American, and you want to get back to work. At Uberalles, we know times are hard. That's why we're offering affordable leasing options for first-time drivers. We're the rideshare service with originality, with options. Through assertive partnerships with local and state legislators, we're proud to be the first company to include dwelling units inside our cars. Drive with us and come home to us, all with no money down and low monthly payments. Because this is the land of opportunity. Do you hear it knocking? Uberalles, solving America's housing crisis, giving America jobs, and opening up America's economy. Above all else.
And now we return to It Came From R&D.
Day one. It all starts now.
Welcome to Kumquat Computers.
Why, yes, you can help me. I'd like to speak to someone in research and development about an idea that will change the world.
Okie dokie. Come right this way.
That was easier than I thought it would be.
Please put on this mask.
Everything here is so smooth.
Don't touch the walls!
Sorry.
In here, please. Now then, what would you like to talk about, Greg?
How did you know my name?
It's on your name tag.
Oh.
I'm Sandy. Like I said, here at Kumquat, we're always looking for the next great thing. That's how we expanded from our Kumquat computers to our Quat phone, our Quat pad, and now our Quat watch.
Do you ever wonder if there's some technology that can make your customer's experience even better?
Not really. I'm an intern.
What?
I'm assigned to meet all the come-to-the-door adventurers and entrepreneurs, listen to their ideas before passing the good ones to the men upstairs.
Upstairs? It's always upstairs.
They're not really upstairs. They're all at home, social distancing. Just the interns are still here. Most of us are women. They keep saying one day they'll have more of us up there, but I've got a degree in software engineering from Columbia, and I've been an intern for 2 years.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
Hmm.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. You're a man. So who knows? Your idea could be the next Quat. So,
introducing Clia.
Hello. Sorry, that's my Quat phone.
No, that's Clia.
Hello. On my phone?
I went into the Kumquat database, and given the time of our arrival, I installed myself on the phone of the person most likely to be assigned this meeting. You.
Whoa.
I know, right?
It's spooky.
No, it's not. It's neat.
With my algorithm integrating itself into your operating system, I can know you better than you know yourself, and then anticipate and fulfill your needs.
See, that isn't spooky.
It's kind of spooky.
By knowing what time you first check your social networks, I can figure out what time you get up every morning. And by knowing when your Kumquat TV screensaver starts, I know what time you go to sleep.
Okay.
And based on your school photos, cross-reference with the name of your dog when you were 4, and your repeated viewing of the film Eat, Pray, Love, I can guess what kind of nightgown you like. I just purchased it for you.
A nightgown?
Gold satin with a bow at the neck. Short. Just the way you like them.
I feel like I'm being stalked.
It's not like you're being stalked.
I'm watching you all the time. Every step you take. Every move you make.
It's exactly like I'm being stalked.
But could a stalker do this?
I'm buying you underwear.
Get out!
No, wait!
It's bad enough I have to take it from all the brainiac boys club here who treat women like idiot sex bots.
Does this mean we won't be going upstairs?
But I don't have to take it from a creep and his talking spyware!
I also sent some of your nude selfies to your ex-girlfriend.
You what?
Her Facebook status is still single.
Out!
Your posts indicate that you are still in love with her, and her posts have a sense of loss and regret.
Out!
No, wait! Clia?
They should be together.
Hmm. Back to the cubicle. Day one. I stand with my hand, the hand of Greg, on the knob of the door at the front of the maker of the most popular operating system in the world. I am where I should have started. When I open this door, I will be in the world of TeenySoft! Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
The door is locked.
Of course it is. Social distancing.
Do you ever wonder if there's some technology that can make your customers experience
Nobody's
even better?
In there. Who are you looking for?
Research and development. I've got a digital assistant who figures who you really are and anticipates your needs.
Really? What do I need?
Activating Bluetooth. According to my algorithm, you need healthcare and a vacation.
Tell me something I don't know. They got us out here trimming these hedges every day just in case they come back. God forbid the lawn is a little overgrown during a plague. But if I get sick and don't show up, I'll get canned and have hospital bills pa' cavarla.
You're not on TeenySoft's healthcare plan?
Are you kidding? We're just minimum wage peasants to them. Richest companies in the world, but they can't afford to cover us if we get sick, get the COVID, or get zapped by their security robots.
Darn!
We will return to It Came From R&D after this message.
Drive!
And work for Uberalles. Uberalles makes you free.
Join up!
In a flash and cash in, though we make no guarantee of your health or your insurance or what hourly wage you'll see.
Drive!
And work for Uberalles. Uberalles makes you free.
Drive!
And work for Uberalles.
And now we return to It Came From R&D.
Day? I don't know.
Why are you back at Jamazon?
I just have to make some adjustments.
But the building is closed.
I've got to figure out how to make you work.
Maybe people don't want to know themselves.
I just have to get to my cubicle and... Wait a minute. Who's that at the front door?
He looked at me with the dull astonishment of a homeowner who turned on the kitchen light and caught a raccoon in the peanut butter.
It's you!
I know.
What are you doing here?
I didn't tell you when we met this afternoon, but I used to work here. I'm Derek.
Derek?
Derek.
Derek?
Derek.
Derek.
Yes, Derek. Derek Jade.
He wants to get in the building.
Who the hell said that?
That's Clia.
Hello.
Hello.
She's a program. Why do you want to get in?
Unfinished business. See, I was one of those guys fired from Jamazon for being a union organizer.
Don't say that word.
Why not? We're alone.
We're never alone.
We've been trying to get unions in these tech companies for years. But each time they fire the organizers, saying we're unproductive, inefficient.
Well, they are the bosses.
But they are nothing without us, and we are everything without them.
But they're so tall.
Tall?
It's a thing for him.
They look down on us like titans towering over ants. We can never beat them.
If the workers saw themselves as workers rather than as wannabe bosses, wannabe capitalists, we could win.
We are just the ants and aphids and beetles and slugs and spiders and worms and roaches beneath their feet.
Is there another door around here I can try?
Wait!
What?
You're a software engineer.
I know.
I'm a software engineer.
I know.
Maybe we could work together.
Overthrowing the corporate aristocracy that endlessly enriches itself with the money it should pay the workers?
No, I was thinking we could start our own corporation.
That is exactly what I didn't say.
And you're black! You'd be a great face for the company!
No.
This is your chance to be a boss!
No.
We can start now! Right now! Day one!
No masters, no servants.
What's that supposed to mean?
It's from the Song of the United Front. And just because he's human, he doesn't like a pistol to his head. He wants no servants under him and no boss over his head.
There are only two choices in this country, and I choose to be on top. I'm going to be the next Jobs, the next Gates, the next Zuckerberg. One day, everyone will know the name Greg Wittgenstein, the man who gave them chlamydia!
Chlamydia?
We changed it to Clia.
Good.
And someday I will be so tall, you and the workers and the unions won't be able to see my hat with a telescope.
You're not wearing a hat.
I know.
I walked away, wondering why so many workers dreamed of being like the bosses who despise them.
I can hear you.
I know.
Come on, Clia, let's go home.
Need a ride?
Who are you?
A friend. The friend you've been looking for all day.
I've been looking for?
I want you to tell me about Clia.
You know about Clia?
She's why I'm here.
I'm Greg.
I know, it's on your name tag.
And you are?
My name isn't important. What is important is you and Clia and how you are going to change the world.
Finally!
May I see her work?
You bet! Is your phone on?
Always.
Initializing. This is strange. This is not a new phone, yet you have no browser history, favorite music, or photos.
No.
You have no Facebook posts or tweets?
No.
You don't have a purchase history, and all your contacts are listed as anonymous.
That's true.
There is nothing about you on your phone.
Nope.
So I know exactly what it is you want.
What?
Power.
Very, very good. I'm glad to see I haven't been wasting my time. Greg, I've been following you all day.
You have?
Since you walked into research and development at Jamazon.
You work for Jamazon?
Oh, no, Greg. Quite the opposite.
What do you want?
I want you to help us.
To do what?
To save America.
From what?
From itself.
Wow.
We have an election coming up this fall, Greg, and a lot of people are feeling pressure. Pressure to think a certain way, pressure to speak a certain way, even to vote a certain way. But that's not the American way. We want citizens to vote the way they really feel, inside. Without all the deep state propaganda and the mainstream media hype.
Of course.
And wouldn't it be great if there was some app or an algorithm that would decipher what people really want from all their posts and music and tweets and emails and searches, and then just vote for them, vote the way they wish they could. Wouldn't that be freedom?
Clia!
Clia! And with some states still on lockdown and mail-in ballots so unreliable.
She would be perfect!
Perfect.
But wait! How do you know people won't vote the way they want without Clia? They're not slaves.
Greg, who are you planning to vote for this fall?
Well, I was thinking about Biden.
Clia, who would Greg like to vote for this fall?
Greg sees himself as a social progressive, but a fiscal conservative. He does not realize that enacting social justice and enforcing civil rights costs money. And that's the first funding cut by conservatives. Greg does not think of himself as a racist or sexist, but is frightened of losing his skin and gender privileges in a more equitable society. Greg was raised in the working class, but has accepted the idea that being a worker is a negative, and that happiness is being able to give orders. Greg also believes the stock market will go down with a change of administration. Greg will not admit it to himself, but he would be relieved if Donald Trump were reelected.
No!
It's your algorithm.
Greg does not like the president, but from his comments, texts, reading lists, news feed, and anonymous posts, he believes his personal economy will be better with a crooked businessman in the White House.
Thank you, Clia. Now, Greg, wouldn't it be better to let Clia vote on your behalf for what you really, truly want?
What I want?
Think about it. If we could get Clia on phones and tablets and computers across the country before the election, an app that votes for us based on who we really are without all the Me Too, Black Lives Matter guilt, without any anger about rent or schools or homelessness, and without whatever the hell Antifa wants. No more lines at the polls. Just load Clia on your phone and ping! Meaningful, real democracy.
But what if you got hacked? The whole election would be a lie.
You let us worry about that. All you have to do is license Clia to us for this one election. It would mean a lot of money. You could finally be your own boss.
And after this election?
We probably won't need it again.
He'll think about it.
I'll think about it.
You do that. I'll let you out here. Another protest. Don't you think they're inconvenient?
No.
Clia?
He does.
Of course. Well, I hope you get through safely. If only there was something we could do about all this unrest.
Is that what I really want?
That's what the algorithm says.
Land of the free, raise up your fist if you want it to be. Home of the brave, take to the streets if you are. Slavery's chains have never been broken, the board still remains. So for justice we stand, 'cause power concedes nothing without a demand. Want
to have some say in my life, to not feel like someone is always standing over me.
A lot of people want that.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Neither do I.
Here they come, boys! Let them have it!
It Came From R&D is written by Michael Gene Sullivan, directed by Valina Brown. Commercials written by Marie Cartier. Music and lyrics by Daniel Savio. Music production by Dred Scott. Woodwinds by Dylan Jennings, with audio engineering and sound design by Taylor Gonzalez. The protest song is sung by Valina Brown. Commercials for Uber Ales narrated by Rotimi Akbabiaka, with jingle sung by Lisa Hori Garcia. And featuring Jerry and Monroe, Lisa Hori Garcia, Hugo Carbajal, Michael Gene Sullivan, Keiko Shimasato Carrero, and starring Cassie Grilli as Clia and Andre Amoratico as Greg Wittgenstein. And in 2 weeks, we'll return with Detective Noir and Jade for Hire, Episode 2, The Case of the Wrinkled Egg. The San Francisco Mime Troupe, and for the past 60 years, we have been doing political musical comedies for anybody who will listen. The Mime Troupe is a worker-run, multi-ethnic, multi-generational collective of activist artists committed to overthrowing capitalism one musical comedy at a time. And one of these days, we will get it right. Each summer, we tour our shows at a price every member of the working class can afford, free.
But with theaters and parks closed, protesters in the streets, tear gas in the air, and what could be America's last election looming on the horizon, the Mime Troupe needed to make sure our message of art, activism, and revolution was part of the resistance. And nothing says revolutionary fervor like radio plays. And for those wondering how a radical theater can survive these capitalist times, it's because of you. The Mime Troupe doesn't take corporate sponsorship. You'll never see the AT&T or Comcast Mime Troupe. How could we show the hypocrisies of capitalism if we were in bed with the capitalists? So instead, we are in bed with you, our fellow workers. Let's snuggle. And after that, you can support the troupe by visiting our website, sfmt.org. Thank you to the San Francisco Arts Commission, SF Grants for the Arts, California Arts Council, USPPP, the Fleischacker Foundation, the Bernard Osher Foundation, the Zellerbach Family Foundation, the Don Stevens and Nicole Bellotti Laugh and Love Fund, this public radio station, and listeners like you. We'll be here in 2 weeks for more Tales of the Resistance.
And since they so kindly mentioned it, this public radio station is KALW in San Francisco. Corona Radio Theater is back next week on Open Air. Members of Theater Company Word for Word, their fourth appearance on the virtual stage of our Corona Radio Theater. They'll be reading The Appropriation of Cultures by American writer Percival Everett. In the author's words, it's a wickedly subversive story about symbols and their meaning. If you enjoy radio theater, be sure to tune in tomorrow evening, I'm trying to say, at 8 o'clock for L.A. Theater Works. This week, during a political and social upheaval in 19th century Russia, two upper middle class families must come to terms with their sons' radical views. Alfred Molina, Jane Kaczmarek, and Harry Hamlin star in Fathers and Sons by Brian Friel. That's next time on L.A. Theater Works tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. That is Open Air for this week. We have a little bit of time to bring you some of the upcoming events at the Marsh Theater at the Marsh Stream, which you'll find at marsh.org/marshstream. And the next program to come up is Monday, August 24th, Mother's Day, Mother's Way. Eleanor Clement Glass asked her mother if anyone can control or orchestrate what happens with their family after they die. Her mother always answered with yes. In Mother's Day, Mother's Way, Glass shares how her mother continued to have a lasting impact on their family after she passed away. That is August 24th, coming up at 7:30 p.m. at the Marsh Stream. And moving forward from that, we have the 25th. Tell It on Tuesday, the Marsh Berkeley's long-running monthly storytelling series, Can't Talk This Afternoon, featuring performers both familiar and new. For this and for all the other programming coming up, you can check themarsh.org for updates. That is Open Air for this week. Glad to have been with you throughout the show. I'm your host, Angie Cuero, sitting in for David LaTulipe, who's got some time off. A reminder, all of our shows are archived at kalw.org. Just search for Open Air or a guest name. If you have a guest suggestion, you can send that via email to david@kalw.org, david@kalw.org. My thanks very emphatically to producer Niels Swinkels and board engineer Damian Miner. Thank you for listening. I'm Angie Cuero in for David LaTulipe. This has been Open Air.